Good morning, Silver Spring. How y'all doing? All right. Well, thank you for having us. My wife and I, we are planting a church down in Norfolk, Virginia, and we're really excited. And we're part of the C32 initiative. And basically, it is 32 churches concentrated in four metro areas. The Potomac Ministers Network has keyed in on four key areas that have the biggest need for unchurched people groups. It is the Tidewater region where we are, the Richmond metro area, the DC metro area, and the Baltimore metro area. And so what we're going to do is, all in all, the total cumulative of those churches will be 32 churches. And what they'll do is they range from anywhere from one style to another style. It's a cornucopia of different types of churches. And they're all going to meet different types of people groups and do all different types of things. Our specific focus will be millennials, young families, and then we want to target military personnel as well. Because some of you may know or may not know, Norfolk, right in the area of Norfolk, has the largest naval base in the world, just right in our neighborhood. And so a little bit about the military personnel and some of the struggles that they go through. They have a very transient culture, and there is a lot of unchurched mentality that goes on there. And what happens is they come in, they leave, and no one gets an opportunity to necessarily minister to them because they don't get an opportunity to set roots down. And so my wife actually grew up in one of those unchurched military families and grew up in a household like that. She's the first Christian in her family. She's a first-generation Christian. And so we have a real heart to minister to that. And we have a distinct understanding of knowing what it's like to minister in that kind of culture setting. So we have a real burden, a real passion. Another group we really want to minister to is the people with disabilities. We have an individual on our core team who used to work with Congress doing translations for the deaf. And so we're going to hopefully every Sunday have translation for the deaf community in our service. As you all know, they need Jesus as much as anybody else, right? And somebody needs to minister to them as much as anybody else. And they're lonely and hurting and broken, and they feel isolated as much as anyone else. So we have a real burden and a passion to minister and reach out and bring them on in and cast a wide net for them. So one of our core team members who used to work up here in the D.C. area now lives down in Virginia Beach is going to be partnering with us and ministering with us. And so we're real blessed to have that that individual and that family on our core team. And the other thing we're really going to target is this young families and millennials. So we're going to have an on-campus ministry at Old Dominion. A little bit about Old Dominion. It is a school, about 35,000 students. And just to give you a kind of a perspective of everything, it is the same size as George Mason. But here's where it's different from George Mason. George Mason has about, I think it's around 100 Christian groups to minister to those 35,000 students at George Mason. Old Dominion, they have one. It is an intervarsity group, and I was talking to the university campus pastor there. He says his average attendance is 10 to 17, fluctuates between there, is the average attendance on a weekly basis there for 35,000 students. Just to give you context, the Muslim Student Association, their weekly attendance is about 200 is their average attendance. And so we want to go in there. We want to bring the love of Christ. We want to be the hands and feet of Christ and minister to this population, this culture group. Because maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but young people, they're going through a crossroads in their life. They're asking a lot of questions. And Jesus has the answer to their questions. They're going through some issues. They're questioning things. They're feeling uncomfortable about who they are. They don't know where things are going to end up in their life. You know what? Jesus has the answer. Our loving Father has the answer. And you know what? There needs to be a church that comes alongside and partners with them and ministers to them and loves them into the kingdom. And that's what we want to do. And that's what we're going to do. We want to be the solution to the struggles and the problems people are having. And all that vision that God has given us. And so that's kind of our passion and our vision and our mission. And all of this comes by being part of that C32 initiative. And really, C32 is all about spiritual lineage for us. We want this to be our spiritual lineage. As we pour into people in Old Dominion, as we pour into people with disabilities and the deaf community, we want that to be our spiritual lineage. Military personnel, we want that to be our spiritual lineage and our legacy. But here's where it goes a little bit further. As you pour into C32, the fruit that we bear is your fruit as well. Because you've linked up with me, or you've linked up with my buddy, Johnny Gray. And as you pour into us, and we pour out, your fruit is whatever fruit we have. And so here, I want you to think about it this way. If I work by myself, I can do only so much individually, right? But if I link up and partner with someone else, my fruit is not just multiplied, it has an exponential effect. And that is what is happening. When you get involved with C32, or you get involved with a foreign missionary, or you get involved with a church initiative here at Silver Spring, you have the distinct opportunity to have an exponential effect for the kingdom of God. And you're fulfilling the Great Commission more than you could even conceptualize. So let's take a pause here for just a second. Think about it this way. 25 years ago or 30 years ago, did you think the people that were sitting in the pews here at Silver Spring thought that the church initiatives they were getting involved with here at Silver Spring would lead to a C32 initiative? They probably had no idea. This thing was not, that was not completely on their radar. All they were trying to do is they were just trying to create a framework so a church could have a spiritual foundation where the Lord's work could be proliferated. That's what they were thinking 30 years ago. And so now, because of their mindset of, let's just create a framework where the Lord's anointing can be proliferated, and when future generations have an opportunity to move mightily, they can seize on it, and they are not hindered or they are not held back. And so now, when a C32 initiative happens, you are not held back. You have the distinct opportunity to say, I can just plant 32 churches in one day. And that fruit is because of what they did many years ago. So as I stand on your shoulders, you stand on their shoulders. And it's about generational impact. So technically, my spiritual legacy into Old Dominion or to military people is your spiritual legacy, but it's also their spiritual legacy. It's generational and it's compounding. And that, technically, that's what Christ was talking about when he was talking about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? He was like, go into all the nations, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? He was actually talking about generational, long-term impact. We always think it's like here and now. That's actually the wrong mindset. He's talking about the here and now creates a framework for generational impact. That's what Christ was getting at. And that's what C32 is. And that's what church planting is. And that's what church initiatives are. And that's what all of this is about. It's about giving and being part of something that outlives us. That's what lineage and legacy is all about. And that's what my title of my message is today. Are we living for a legacy? Lineage and legacy. Are we living for a legacy? It's all about a legacy that outlives us. You know, when we give to a missionary or a church planter, it's about being part of something that outlives us. It's very simply with my daughter, Eliana. And quite frankly, Pastor's right. Like, if there's a child running around in that foyer, I got to own that. That's my girl, Eliana. And it's not my wife. She copies me. I'll be honest. I was that child. I feel sorry for my parents. That's all I got to say. I'm digressing. So here's what it is. So I pour into my daughter because I'm thinking long term. My wife and I, here's our parenting model. We have vision-focused, purpose-driven parenting. We have goals and we have perspectives on what our parenting is. We're not just existing for our parenting. We're not just going day-to-day parenting model. Like, I'm just trying to get through the day to parent. Now, I have a perspective. I have a vision for our parenting. And it's probably not what you're thinking. Like, my vision is I want my daughter to have a dynamic relationship with Christ. Another vision is I want her to understand that our home is a safe place. Another vision is I want her to feel unconditional love with my wife and I. Those are our visions and our purpose intentionalities. So what does that mean? That guides how our framework and our decision and how we go about doing things as we parent. It goes about how we structure things, how we talk to her, how we engage with her, because we're trying to create that construct. So what I do is I pour into her, and then my purpose is, with this vision, purpose, focus, I pour into her, so I'm thinking this will have a generational impact. So that pours into her children, which will be my grandchildren, and then her grandchildren, which will be my great-grandchildren, which will have a generational lineage impact. So I specifically focus things parenting-wise to outlive me. That's how I do it. So there's a family legacy and a family model I'm trying to create, a construct and a framework I'm trying to create by specifically doing things with my daughter. And I think parents all do that, right? We do things specifically with our children, so we make sure that they're coming along in a certain way, right? We just don't want them to end up in jail, right? We don't want them to end up, you know, and we want them to get into a certain way. It's like that in the kingdom of God as well. Church initiatives, missionaries, church planters. You pour into them. You don't just choose any old missionary. You don't just choose any old church planter. You specifically choose key ones that you know are proliferating the work strategically, right? You're trying to pick and choose and do the right thing. So you're stewards of the talents God has given you, right? That's what we do. So because what we're trying to think of is fruit. Y'all remember the story of Jesus. He saw the fruit tree. It wasn't bearing fruit. And then what did he do? He cursed it. Cursed it, right? Because we want to be fruit-bearing body of believers. Fruit-bearing body of believers. So what happens is, that's why we pour into church plants, because a lot of good fruit happens. Salvations, baptisms of the Holy Spirit, water baptisms happen, right? And we want to make sure we're strategic with all of that. When you partner with the C32, salvations, baptisms of the Holy Spirit, water baptisms, discipleships that are happening, yes, that's going to be the fruit of that initial church, but that's also your fruit. That's also your fruit as well, because you've linked up with that church and you've partnered with that church. And that's how it works. That's the legacy. See, legacy is not leaving something for people. Everybody always thinks it's leaving something for people. That's a flawed ideology. Legacy is leaving something in people. It's leaving something in people. And that's what we do when we partner with a missionary church planter or a church initiative. So let me put the brakes on it here before we get too far and go any further. I want to talk about something. So let me put the brakes on it. Let me start with a handful of thoughts. There are three types of links in a chain that I want to talk about. Three types of links in a chain. And it's the links of faith. That's what we're talking about. There are three types of links in a chain of faith. Strong link, weak link, not a link. Okay? And if you're not a link, you don't have a relationship with Christ. You don't know the love and grace of our loving Father. You may be a religious person, a spiritual person. You may be a very moral person. But you don't have a connection with Christ. And if you don't have a loving relationship, if you don't have a relationship with our loving Savior, here's what I want to say. You're in the right place. You're in a great church filled with loving people who have big hearts for people and the community. This is a great place. And it all starts today by trusting in the God of the Bible and coming to know and meet Him as Father and being adopted through Jesus into the family of God. So be connected. Talk to pastor. Talk to any one of these great people here if you're not a link. How many of you are a strong link in the chain of faith? You love and serve the Lord. You're not perfect. But you're growing, you're giving, and you're learning. The prophet Malachi. And we're going to read the book of Malachi chapter 4 in just a little bit. Malachi was a strong link. And as a result, God plucks him out and uses him as his mouthpiece. Because he's a strong link, Malachi has some unique characteristics that God wanted to really key in on. So here's what happens. Malachi is the last mouthpiece to speak for 400 years. And God wants to say some unique things, especially in Malachi chapter 4, which is the last prophecy God gives to Israel for 400 years. So basically, God wants to give a warning and an encouragement. Malachi has courage. He has strength to speak to the whole nation and not worry about the repercussions. So if you would turn to Malachi chapter 4, we're going to read the whole chapter here. So if you didn't read your Bible today, we're going to get your Bible reading in just a second here. So starting with Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 4, and that's where we're going to begin. A little bit about this last little prophecy. God wants to give a warning to the Israelites. Because God knows what's going to happen. He's going to be silent for 400 years, and he's going to say, I want you to be watching for these things. I want you to be watching for these things, and you need to be careful. So here it is, verse 1, chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chafed. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and the ordinances which I command him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. So what does that mean? Here's what it means. This little packed out six verses is a prototypical Old Testament prophecy. And so let me give you a little information about a prototypical Old Testament prophecy. Basically, what it is God will give you a warning, and then God will give you the out clause. Why does God do that? Why does he give you a warning? Sometimes the warnings are really harsh, like, listen, I'm going to singe the eyebrows off you. No, I don't know. But sometimes it's really harsh. But then God gives you, here's the out. If you do this, just disregard everything I just said before that. And the reason why God does that is, one, God is a perfect judge. He's not a corrupt judge. A corrupt judge would be like, the rules don't matter, right? God's a perfect judge. If God's perfect in everything, then he's got to be a perfect judge, right? But then he's also a perfect loving father. So he's grace-filled and loving. So he says, listen, if you do this, then forget. He's a perfect loving father. Not like a human father. He's better. He's better. And then the other thing in this section, look out for the Elijah character. And he says, link up. He's basically saying, link up with this Elijah character. This Elijah character is the strong link. This Elijah character is going to bring healing. Healing in your community. Fathers and children that hate each other. He's going to bring community healing. He's going to heal your land. Children that hate their fathers, healing. So this is what he's saying. If you're a strong link, God is giving you a mandate. He's basically giving you a mandate. Don't just acquire knowledge. By nature, I'm an academic, so I like to read. I love reading about the Bible. I love reading all kinds of stuff, and I soak it up. It's fun for me. It's like a hobby for me to read books and to read about the Bible, read the Bible, read books about the Bible. That's what I do in my free time for fun. Ad nauseum. I'll go through about 20 to 25 books just on the Bible, in addition to my other reading a year. It's fun. This is what my hobby is. Some people run, some people do other things. I like to study about the Bible, okay? Here's what I would say. You as a strong link are not commanded or mandated to acquire knowledge. You as a strong link are mandated to bring healing and to step out and to do something with what you know. You are challenged by God. God wants you to do something, not to sit back and to absorb knowledge. That's what he's saying to Malachi. In fact, it's so important to God, God's saying as the very last, it's the last thing of the last prophecy that he says. For 400 years. That's the importance and the significance that God has on it. So for those of you who are strong links, we need you to be strong links. And I want you to be encouraged, because here's the thing. It gets frustrating. So as a pastor, in previous pastoral positions, I've been pastoring for over 10 years now. And I have overseen discipleship at almost every church that I've been at. And one of the things that I've noticed is when a person teaches on a class on the Holy Spirit, you know what? The first thing that happens, there's infighting in his marriage or their marriage, right? You step up to the plate and they always say, we're going to teach a Pastor, we want to teach a class on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm like, well, have you been praying and fasting? Because that's what you're going to need. Because there will be fighting in the home, no matter how perfect their marriage is. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy and come in and get you down. You're a strong link, the enemy's coming at you. Because if he can tear a strong link down, then it's much easier. He's coming at you. He's gunning for you. You ever wonder why there's so many fights on the way to church? You ever think about that? You ever just ponder? I'm a contemplator. I like to ask questions. I like to contemplate. You ever wonder that? It's not because, oh, church this, church that. No, 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 no. It's not that. You know what it is? You come in and you're thinking, man, my wife, what's wrong with her? You're not focusing on the worship. You're not focusing on the message. If you come in and you're thinking, man, I'm going to give it to my kid after this service because of what they did. How many times does that happen, right? It's because the enemy is trying to get a foothold, right? And he's just trying to throw everybody off. Strong links, we need you to persevere. We need you to stay strong, because here's the thing. We need you. We need you. We need you, because the weak links need you to lift them up. And that's what he was talking about. Now, a weak link. Weak links are Christ followers. But man, the enemy's been coming at them. The enemy's been spewing lies. The enemy's been tearing them down. And so here's what I want to say. You've been spinning your wheels. I'm from Wisconsin. And here's what we do for fun. We go mudding for fun. I don't know if you know what mudding is, but basically you just drive around in your truck, drive around in your Jeep, and just drive around in mud and you just drive around. It's fun, you know? Don't ask me why. There's no rhyme or reason. We just do it. We eat cheese curds too, if you know what cheese curds is. Google it. There are things that happen in Wisconsin that just make no rhyme or reason. It's just fun. Anyways, so getting off on a tangent here. Anyways, my wife's giving me the eyes. Anyways, so here's what I want to say. Mudding. You drive it around in your Jeep, you get caught in some mud, and your wheels just start spinning. You're not going anywhere. Normally in mudding, you hit a mud patch and you spin, but you pull on out. Mud, and sometimes though, your wheel starts spinning, you're spraying mud everywhere, and you're going nowhere. And a weak link, you feel like that with your spiritual walk. The enemy's been tearing you down. bringing you down, tearing you up, no matter what you do, you're going nowhere, right? You're going nowhere, and you're broken. You're like, God, I'm not good. I can't do nothing. I'm discouraged, and I'm broken. Here's what I want to say. You ever ask yourself why the enemy comes at you so hard? You ever ask yourself why people have been trying to tear you down so much? Maybe it's because you got gifts. Maybe it's because you got talents. And the Lord wants to use you powerfully to distract you from what God's got going for you. And don't let the lies of the enemy try to distract you from what the Lord has for you. Okay? Because here's the thing. If the enemy can pull you off track, you're a weak link, maybe the enemy can pull you off track. Maybe the enemy can say, you've given up on church. Or maybe you've given up teaching children's church. Or maybe you've given up in volunteering anymore because you feel so discouraged. And the enemy's got you believing that lie. Here's what I want to say. Think of all the people that are going to be impacted in the future by you not volunteering. Think about how many souls God could use you to impact. How many lives you could have changed. But the enemy got to you. He got that negativity in your head. And he tore you down. And he just ate you up. And listen, it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. And we can't listen. And here's what I want to say. If you ain't rolling with Jesus in heaven on them gold streets, God's got a purpose, God's got a hope, God's got a future for you here and now, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter what your circumstances are. Okay? Believe that. And you just got to fight. You just got to fight through. You just got to push through. You can't let the enemy get a stronghold on that. You can't let him get that foothold on you. Don't let the enemy get you. Here's the thing. The enemy may be tearing down. Maybe the enemy's running up the score on you. But here's what I want to say. With God, anything's possible, right? We turn that ship around. We get that going down the right trajectory. We get you going. Here's what I'm going to say. Everyone, turn to Zechariah 3 real quick. Zechariah 3 real quick. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. And a lot of times with weak links, I'm going to be straight up honest. You may have caused your situation with you're fumbling, you're stumbling, whatever. Maybe your boneheadedness. Okay, I'm going to be straight up honest. Your boneheadedness. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2 is going to be the theological answer you were looking for. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. I ain't going to read it in Hebrew, but if we could, the Hebraic phraseology is very clear. Anyways. So here it is, Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Israel rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" All right. So you're probably reading this and you're like, this makes no sense to me. That's okay. I'm gonna explain it. Don't worry. It's going to get good. Satan comes to God to accuse Joshua the high priest. Similar to how God came up to God and tried to accuse Job. Very similar situation. And to be honest, Joshua isn't acting like a high priest. Joshua is not doing anything he should be doing. He's not keeping up with the Mosaic law. He's actually acting like a knucklehead. If he was a pastor, he would have been fired and maybe tossed in jail. So I'm just tossing that out there to give you the theological background. So God interjects, and this is what God says. God says, check yourself. That's what he says. He says, right here, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Then God goes on to say, not only does he know what Joshua did, he knew Joshua would do those things, and he wanted him anyways. What? This is the high priest. What? This is the high priest. He said, okay, and so here's the Hebraic phraseology, but it is in English. So, is this not a brand plucked from a fire? That's what that means. Okay? That's what that means. He was in fire. I still plucked him out nonetheless for my own purposes. That's exactly what it meant. So, my question to y'all, what are the implications for us as weak links, as people that have made our bed and are lying in it? What are the implications for us? Here's what I want to say. You may be behind the game and Satan's running up the score on you. You'd be going down a trajectory you do not want to go. Jesus says, go and sin no more. I'm not saying you just go keep on doing knuckleheadedness, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Jesus was very clear. Go and sin no more. We don't just go around doing whatever. Because the title of my message will easily become not lineage and legacy. The title of my message will be shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? This will be the shoulda, coulda, woulda message. And it's like, I should have done this. I should have done that if I would have made those right choices when God spoke to me that one day. Here's what I want to say. God's grace and forgiveness is there. So don't let the lies of the enemy get to you and tear you down. Step into a new season. Step into a new time where God has something for you, something powerful for you. Maybe the enemy is tearing you down to a point where you're a weak link now, and you were a strong link, but you can't take it anymore, and you're just so burdened. Here's what I want to say. God's got a purpose and a hope for you. God's got a purpose and a hope for you. And God's got something significant for you and wants to use you. Not in the future. God wants to use you today. And God wants to use your struggles and your mess ups and your past and all the things you messed up on to encourage others that are going through the same thing. Let me tell you a story about myself. My birth father used to wail on me and my mom. And when I mean wail, he used to just beat the tar out of us. And I was a little kid. I was 3, 4, 5. I was the same age as my daughter. I used to get the snot beat out of me. Okay? And that caused me all kinds of issues. I have seizures today because he hit me in the head with a shovel when I was a kid. So growing up, I had all kinds of anger issues, stress, and sometimes I wasn't a nice person growing up. He took off when I was a very young boy after giving us some good goodbye punches. So what did I do? Eventually, God had used that to then open doors where I was an opportunity to connect with people that went through similar circumstances. You don't think your past, you think you're the only person who's gone through a similar situation as you? God can use your past and your situation to minister to someone who's going through the similar circumstance as you, a similar situation as you. And you can connect them to our loving Father. You remember what I said? He's a loving Father. He's a perfect Father, not like a human father. He's better. He's better. And he's patient when we are weaklings and we feel like giving up, feel like tearing down. As the worship band comes up, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Here's what I want to say. Just talk to God. Tell God right now how you're feeling. You need a new season. You need a breakthrough. You've been a weak link for too long. I want you to come to the front. No looking around. No goofing around. You need a breakthrough. God, Satan's been tearing you down. And then, if you're a strong link, I want you to be thinking about this. God, I want to be mobilized further than ever before. You're a strong link. God, open doors. I want you to come to the front too. And let's start as a family, collectively, start seeking God here at the altar and collectively bond as a unity. So everybody, weak links, strong links, everyone, come. Come to the front and everybody, let's bond together. Everybody come forward. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to seek God in this, in a new season, as we step forward in a new season together. We want to bond together as a new unity in a new season. Don't let the season pass. So if you're a weak link, come forward. Say, God, I want this. I want this breakthrough. If you're a strong link, you say, God, I want to be used more. Come forward. And God is going to open doors like never before. Like never before. Like never before. Father, just pour out right now. Pour out on this family as they unify and bond collectively. As they unify and bond collectively. And those that need a breakthrough, let them move. Let them move. Father, don't shy back. God was speaking. Don't shy back from what God was speaking. There is a new season and a new dawn that's approaching. Come forward and allow God to just release what you've been dealing with right now. Release. Come and get your breakthrough at the altar. Come and bond yourself with God at the altar. Father, right now. Father, right now. Father, move on your people. Move on those that feel the enemy has been coming against them. Move on them right now. Move on them powerfully. Move on your strong links, Father. Lift them up. Give them spiritual openings, Lord. Give them spiritual openings. Give them miraculous divine appointments like never before, Father. Right now, give them miraculous divine appointments like never before, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. Right now, Father. Lord, as this new season breaks, as this new season unfolds, move on them. Father, thank you for what you're about to do. Oh, Lord, right now, everybody, just breathe. Have an anointing. Just be speaking into God. Ask God what you want on a greater level. God, speak to me in a greater level like never before. Have your anointing move in a powerful way like never before. Just begin opening and talking to God in a powerful way. Father, thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here's what I'm going to say one more time. And I want to make one more call. Lord, if God has been speaking to you and you just feel trapped and you just feel like the enemy is just won't, you feel like trapped where you can't just unburden yourself. Just talk to God about how you can be more transparent with your spiritual friends, your accountability partners, and just talk to them right now. Just talk to God about how you can be more transparent, that you're just not, you won't get caught up in this or that, but you just, right now, that you are able to move forward, that you are not allowed to, you won't get caught up in this facade of outholying other people, but God will just connect with you in a powerful way right now. Just begin talking to God about that. Oh, Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're about to do. And just have your anointing come upon this place. Bless them powerfully. Father, as people go into this new season, just move in this place. Move in this place in a powerful way and just minister to them, Lord. Just have your Holy Spirit come upon them. Father, thank you for what you're about to do and how you're going to impact them and lift them up as they enter into a new season, Lord. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to give it off to Pastor, but let's give him a hand and thank our pastor.
Aren't you glad that the Lord offers us a plan to make the weak strong? It's in Scripture. There's even a song written about it. Let the weak say that I am strong. The poor say that I'm rich. Amen. And that he can take us all and make us all strong links in the kingdom of God for his purposes. And that we can all work on developing a lineage to leave a legacy in the lives of others. That's a good plan, isn't it? All made possible because of Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you to allow this word to absorb into your heart, your thinking, your spirit through the course of the week, the rest of your lives, all the way until Jesus comes back. How does that sound? That's a good plan. Make sure you say hi to Pastor Billy and his wife and Eliana if you see her running around here. Thank them for coming. And let us make a commitment to pray for the C32 Church Planting Initiative launching in just a few short weeks. God bless you as you go. May the blessings of the Lord be upon you, the favor of God be on you, and we'll see you right back here next Sunday.